Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we continue to talk today about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Yesterday, I was reading from the Catechism, paragraph 690, where it talks about the mission of the Son and the Spirit, the mission of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. All the work of salvation the Church makes clear to us, and we see it in the Scriptures, and it's articulated so beautifully in the Catechism, as well as the teaching of the recent popes on the Trinitarian missions. If you take a theology class in college, one of the things that might talk about the nature of God, the nature of the Trinity, and the nature of the Church, and one of the things that it's talked about is the Trinitarian mission. So what does that mean? What it means is that, I love the way St. John Paul II talked about it. He said, Christianity is the religion that begins in the heart of a loving father, a love that sends forth his son to go in search of a people who bear his image, a race of people who are lost and fallen. God goes in search of them to bring them home, to bring them back to God, to bring them into fulfillment, to bring them out of a place of slavery and alienation, and to bring them home to God. And of course, the famous passage we all know, for God so loved the world that he sent. So Jesus sent his son. Jesus was sent. The whole Christ, the eternal Son of God, was sent, and he became man, right? In the womb of Our Lady, under, as we said yesterday, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I just want to repeat that line from the Catechism 690 that's so important. It said, Jesus is Christ. Christ means anointed, because the Spirit is his anointing. What does anointing mean? To be plunged in. It's like to be filled with. It's like baptism. We're anointed with the Holy Spirit. We're plunged into the Holy Spirit and the life of the Spirit. But the sentence goes on. It says, and everything that occurs from the incarnation on derives from this fullness. The uniting of the Holy Spirit in the mission of the Son in the person of Jesus, the human flesh. So God's saving act is his eternal plan for the salvation of the world is birthed there. And Jesus, the Holy Spirit, are united in a mission. Of course, Jesus will come forward 30 years later from the River Jordan, where John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. Now, it's important. I remember Father Rinero Conte La Mesa said at one point, Jesus didn't need to have the baptism in order to have his sins forgiven. Because remember, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance to people to turn back to God. And so Jesus was already turned toward God, but he fulfilled what God's plan was and what Father Conte La Mesa put it this way, that at that moment, as Jesus was baptized, then the Father and the Holy Spirit are present, and the Father's voice said, this is my beloved. And the declaration from heaven is, this is the one filled with the Spirit. This is the one who's my son. This is the Messiah. And when he came out of the waters of the Jordan, he entered into now the mission for which he came, the battle for which he came. Remember, Jesus came to die a death, and he told the apostles, can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? And Jesus knew where he was headed. He knew the showdown that was going to happen on Calvary and how in his humility and his obedience and his fulfilling the first commandment to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and to fulfill the second commandment to love your neighbors yourself, he lays down his life in a perfect act of love. And love conquers darkness. Love conquers the kingdom of darkness. Love brings down the entire apparatus of the kingdom of the enemy and its claim over human flesh. So anyone now, from that time on, Calvary and his passing from death to life and his rising to the right hand of the Father, anyone who's united to Jesus is no longer subject to sin and death and the curse of eternal separation from God. It's the work of the Spirit in Jesus. It's Jesus's yes, it's the Father. So the whole Trinitarian mission is this loving act, this spiritual battle, this rescue and redemption that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have brought about in history when time had reached its fullness, Scripture says. God sent forth his Son into the world to save it, to redeem it. And the Holy Spirit is intimately tied to that. And the transfer, it's not just a one-time thing the Holy Spirit did. We have to see, which we touched on yesterday, the Catechism speaks so beautifully of, there's a transmission of life that's at the heart of Christianity. Say it again and again to yourself, friends. Christianity's life. Christianity is life. It's not just a doctrine. It's not just a dogma. It's not just commands. It's fundamentally a life. It's a new life, a new power, a new creation, a new animation that's a sharing in the life of God. Your life is now animated by something you could never acquire. No one could ever give you. It's God's gift. And this is the power that's at work in you that St. Paul prayed so earnestly about in the apostles that we would come to see and yield our lives to and pay attention to. Friends, you think about how normal it is and how often we see it in the world for human beings to pursue glorious things and to set our minds on things. Some people set their minds on, you know, great success in a career, or, you know, whether it's work or sports or whatever it might be, or gaining great wealth or gaining gold or beautiful diamonds or power and influence and all of this, that we set our minds on things, and the closer we get to them, you know, people are reaching the goals and you feel animated, you feel a certain kind of energy, maybe your confidence is growing and you're focused, you feel like your life has purpose. Now, we're made to have and to live with that kind of passion and desire. And the Lord does want us to set our hand to really helpful, useful, and good things in this world. But what easily gets, what gets deflected, you might say, we get deflected from the proper end of what is ultimately really good. And that's what Jesus reveals to us on the cross and in his whole life, where the real gold is. And we get sidetracked into secondary things, things that may be good in and of themselves and they're positive, but we lose sight of them and they become our all. They get all our attention. They get all our focus, our passion, our interest, our imagination is constantly stimulated. And many times what ends up happening, unfortunately, is secondary things end up consuming our resources and our focus. And they can only take us so far. They can only lift us so far. And guess what? It always goes away. I mean, how many retired executives do you know, or retired athletes, or people who once were at the top of the mountain and not there anymore? It's pretty difficult for them to find happiness after that, for many, many of them, because they're no longer at the top of the mountain. And that goal, that achievement, that sense of purpose and being right at the heart of things kind of goes away. Everything in this world is passing. We're living in a world that fades. It will never be our complete home. Therefore, it will never completely fulfill us. It just can't happen. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to know it because we're made for more. We're made for so much more. We're made for a reality and existence that nothing in this world can achieve and it can't create. Just can't do it. Now, it's the Holy Spirit in us, this gift, this great treasure that we receive, and why Paul was praying so earnestly that we could see it and grasp it, and that the Holy Spirit would help. Because if we pay attention, and this is what the saints revealed to us, and part of what he was praying, that we could come to see the inheritance that is ours in the saints. What did the saints see? They certainly loved this world. They certainly, in a healthy way, they certainly loved God's good creation. They saw the value of it and could embrace it fully, but they saw its limit. And what really caught their eye, so to speak, captured their imagination, filled their hearts, is the awareness of what God has done for them. It's kind of interesting. In the New Testament, the apostles always begin their letters with, what has God done for us, before they get to the point of reminding us what we're called to do for God and with God. Because what God's done for us and in us is the most important thing. And it's the believing it and seeing it and understanding now, this is the goal of my life. Oh, wow, there's something in me. Here's a discovery. Not just a discovery of something I can do for humanity, which is really good. You know, like a scientist who has a wonderful discovery for a vaccine, for example. Things like this. Those are good things, wonderful things. But the discovery of what God has given to us in Jesus Christ, the immeasurable greatness of his power. This is what Paul is leaning into. And he said that the knowledge, the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and knowing the hope. What is the hope? He said, it's Christ in you. Really? Christ in me? What does that mean? You've heard the words. I've heard the words. But the question is, have we believed the words? Have we dove into it? Have we come to experience it? Because if we have, it changes our lives. You begin to see yourself differently. You begin to see yourself with the way God sees you. You begin to value your life, the gift of your existence and your being, the sheer value of the gift of knowing you are God's idea. Where did you come from? The eternal God thought of you. And he brought you into being. And he's given you an eternal destiny. And he prizes you. He loves you. He favors you. So Jesus, who we come to know through the gospel, if we see him and his total union with the Father and his freedom, everybody marveled at Jesus. His freedom, his love, his authority, his power, his goodness, his humility, his gentleness, his joy, all these characteristics that were in him, people marvel at it. Because where did it all come from? Because he was united to the Father. Because the Spirit that was his anointing that we read yesterday was with him, and he knew it. And he was never alone. Even when it seemed like he was totally alone, he's never alone. This is the gift that the apostles and the saints, those who are now have entered into the full inheritance of the saints, the destiny of the full union with God. Friends, the church is constantly talking about evangelization and mission and sharing the good news and the gospel, and we should, because the Great Commission is a key part of what it means to be a disciple and to be the church, to communicate the good news of God. But friends, if those who are baptized into Christ don't know the good news of God, don't know the good news of not just what happened once 2,000 years ago, but the reality of what that act of love and the new life Jesus is in, the difference it makes to be now, not just like getting good things or prayers answered, it's, wow, what I have become in him, and the eternal story and the glorious story, the high story of your life that God has begun. He's the one who tells you your story. And when the saints laid hold of it, and no circumstance in this world could possibly take away the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus the Lord. You hear that? The worth, the surpassing worth. It surpasses every other worth, every valuable thing on earth. There's nothing greater. And so no matter what condition they lived even in this world, friends, the suffering, that terrible, you know, in some of these cases, the saints, the apostles, the torture, the rejection, the hatred, none of that stuff could take away the glory and the treasure that they had. And even in the midst of it, they shined with glory, because the very suffering that the enemy uses to discourage becomes the place in which you even grow in greater perfection when it's done in the Lord and for the Lord and done for love. It's amazing. Friends, this is the lifestyle, the mindset the Lord wants us to walk in. Let's say yes to it. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.